Barbara, I've seen some times in my life when I had favor I didn't deserve. There was no way on God's green earth, as we say, that I deserved some of the breaks that I had. Mm-hmm. And you know, looking back on a lot of times, I was so out of it that I didn't realize that God's favor was on my life. You know, I thought, well, man, I deserve that because I'm so cool. Well, that's just pride gone to seed. And yes. God's favor was actually on my life.
Well, it's like in Psalms, humility comes before honor. And
humility, what's that?
He loves a humble man, a
that's
contrite
right.
heart.
He does.
And we are not perfect, and he knows that we're not perfect on this earth. But when we seek after him, he will let you find him if you seek after him. God will let you find him. And it's so important to do that.
You know, I believe that many times God extends two hands toward us.
Mm-hmm.
One has favor, and the other one he's got against our forehead, because he says, I resist the proud and I give strength to the humble.
That's right.
He's, you know, it's kind of a push-pull deal, and he's trying to get us to wake up and humble ourselves and realize how much of his divine favor really is all over our lives.
Well, like Proverbs 3:4 says, so you will find favor and good reputation in the sight of God and man. And this is an example of like Samuel in this next book. And we were talking about Ruth. The very next book is 1 Samuel. And in this little book, oh, it's such a tremendous book, is another humble woman who did not have children. Her name was Hannah. And Hannah went up every year with her husband, and Elimelech had another wife, and she had children, but Hannah didn't have children, and so she was greatly distressed. And Darren, in this first chapter, she goes to the priest Eli, and Eli thinks at first she's drunk, because he sees her speaking, and she's so overwhelmed, and she just wants a child so badly. She must have been crying and weeping and speaking softly. And Eli thought she was drunk, and he said, how long will you make yourself drunk? And Hannah says, no, my lord, I'm a woman oppressed in spirit. I have neither drunk wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Consider your maidservant as a, do not consider your hand, your maid, excuse me, do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. And Eli answered and said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. Now here we get God in the picture, Darren. Everywhere where we see favor, God is in the picture. You cannot have favor without God. He is the major proponent
okay.
of
now,
favor.
Let me tell you how I think women are made up emotionally and spiritually. When they cry, they're different than a man in that they open up to the very bottom of their being.
They do.
Now, when she was crying like this, she was pouring out the libation of her sufferings. And she was saying to God, I mean, she was almost retching. It was coming up out from inside of her. It was almost like a spiritual vomiting.
Mm-hmm.
She was saying, here it is, Lord, I just, from the very depths of my soul, I would like my own child.
Yes.
And I haven't had a child. Now, she and another woman shared the same husband?
Yes, and I'm sorry, I made a mistake here. I called him Elimelech, and that was Naomi's husband. But this is Elkanah, and he was a Jewish man.
Wish you'd get that straight, honey.
I know.
Okay, but
Elkanah was a husband of two wives.
But you know, one wife with a child could say to the other one, you know, I gave our husband or the husband a child, and you haven't done that.
No, that's right.
And in the Old Testament context, that was a woman's value, or that was her whole identity, was that she was a mother. Well, now, I believe this. When you cry out to God with such deep urgings, unutterable gushings, as, you know, they said about John Wesley. You know, he came up with this, and wasn't he the founder of Methodism?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was speaking in tongues. And I think sometimes when we get beyond the human language, we have to go into a spiritual language and just cry our guts out. I mean, that's the way some people would say it. The innermost part of you is almost to come out right through your mouth. You're just saying, God, I just have this spirit of urgency here, and I'm in grief and travail. Please hear me.
Yes.
And I believe that's when God really meets us, when we're totally, totally serious.
Well, here she came to Eli, and he said, go in peace. And in verse 18 of 1 Samuel 1, she says, let your maidservant find favor, 2580 again, Cain, that word Cain, that's to bend in kindness to one inferior. God was bending now to Hannah. And it was confirmed then by Eli saying, go in peace. And she said, let your handmaiden find favor in your sight. So she went her way, and she was no longer sad. See, Darren, when we realize that breakthrough has come,
right.
When we realize God has bent down in this cane, this 2580, this favor, we know we have our answer. She went home, and she bore Samuel,
but
the great
also,
prophet.
It was because of the prophetic word from that prophet,
yes.
And she was ready for it, and she received it,
yes.
As from the Lord. Now, I want to say this. David, I believe, said at times to God, stir yourself, incline your ear to me, bend over here and listen to me. Give me your ear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think sometimes when we're really urgent, we say, now, you know, God could just be sitting there in his nobility and his righteousness, and we're saying, God, I want your attention here. I want you to pay attention to me, and I want you to really, really, really hear me. Incline your ear. Show me favor. Meet me halfway. Some people would say that. But God, I want
yes.
you to pay attention.
Part of that favor, though, Darren, is found in sacrifice. And we're going to talk about that in the next hour here in 2 Corinthians 9:10 about having favor when we give our offerings, when we give our seed planting. But here in the Old Testament, she gave. Hannah gave her son, her only son at the time. She gave him as a sacrifice to the Lord, God was so important to her that she gave her only son Samuel. Lord, I give Samuel to you. And after he was weaned, she gave him to Eli to be raised in the temple. Her only son Samuel.
Wasn't he about 3 years old when she released
weaning
him?
Weaning probably usually is then. And here it says in 1 Samuel 2:26, the boy Samuel was growing in stature and favor again. Only this favor is not the same as 2580, both with the Lord and man. This favor is 2896, taub, to make good, a good man or a good woman, beautiful, very pleasant, wealth, welfare, well-favored and honored. Now you want that, don't you? Yes, you want that in your life. And so here in 1 Samuel 2:26, we find this word, taub. It's another word for favor. It means beautiful. God is so desirous for you to be beautiful, to be wealthy, to have welfare, to be well-favored here on this earth and honored. What a beautiful word for favor. It is a wonderful word. And Samuel became one of the great prophets of the Old Testament.
Now, I believe this. When favor enters into a bloodline, it goes not only from that generation, which in her case, in Hannah's case, it would enter then with her, and then it went on down to her son Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe that's like a blessing. Now, on the other side of the coin, we teach, and it's very evident in Scripture, the sins of the fathers go down through and four generations. It's like a curse.
It is a
in.
Curse, yes.
Okay, now over here on the positive side,
oh, yes.
I believe when blessings enter a family, I see blessings on my sons that came through my life.
Mm-hmm.
I see a blanket coverage there, in kind of in a sense, and they certainly are now not under my covering in terms of being a disciplinarian in their lives, but a counsel. And I believe that when that favor comes into the family tree, that it does go down, it permeates and goes down to our progeny, our children.
Yes, that's right.
And they are different. They are different, born to born-again parents.
Yes.
I tell you, it's a tremendous study.
Can I just say one more thing about Hannah before we leave her, is that she gave her son, her only son, her firstborn, and in the process, God gave her then 3 sons and 2 daughters. 5 more children. And I
so
just
that concept of favor really was on her life.
Yes, and I want to say to you today, you may have a favorite thing. You may have a favorite possession, and you just won't let it go. And when you give it to God, when you let go and give that favorite thing to God, he will multiply back to you. He truly will. Darren, I know some people that are holding on so hard, and it could be children. They're holding on so hard to their children that they're causing a schism or a division that is going to go into their adult life. And their children aren't going to be as close as the parents desired them to be because they didn't put God first.
Now, you're talking about, in my opinion, 2 concepts. You might have something that could become an idol, or if you saw it in a more positive light, like Hannah did, you're going to make it a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you're going to really be blessed. Here, Lord God, is a thing that is the closest and dearest thing to me. This is my life, mm-hmm. and I want to give it to you. That's a sacrifice.